back to HealthLink on Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. I'm Linda Cohen, along with Drs. Marion Nessel and Donna Bakke. And we've been talking about school meals and what they can do for your children. Hopefully they can do good things, at least hopefully down the road we'll make some improvements here. Before we took the break, we were talking about this chocolate milk controversy that came out, or that you were alluding to when we talked about the Institute for Medicine. Tell us more about that.
Well, the chocolate milk issue sounds as if it's completely trivial, but it's really not, because it's part of the whole problem. The idea is that kids prefer chocolate milk to unsweetened and unflavored milk. Well, of course they do. They prefer candy to everything. And so the dairy industry argues that kids will be deprived of drinking milk if you don't have chocolate milk in schools. And the schools have gone along with this in many, many cases. That was one of the things in Jamie Oliver's programs that was a prominent issue for discussion, because he tried to get rid of the strawberry flavored and chocolate flavored milk.
But if in fact, just to play devil's advocate, if in fact it does have get children to drink more milk, is there anything so bad about it? I mean, there's only a little bit more sugar in it.
Well, maybe I missed something someplace, but I was unaware that milk was an essential ingredient or an essential nutrient. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are other things that kids can be drinking or not drinking, but kids can be eating in order to get the nutrients that are in milk.
Available.
It's not the only source for those ingredients. And this is largely about marketing. And you have to ask the question whether you think it's worth it to be teaching kids that they don't have to eat anything if it's not sweetened.
That's very interesting.
I mean, to me, it sends a message that
gets us kind of caught on sugar.
Well, also that you're letting kids decide what they're going to eat. Mm. And you're convincing kids that they get to choose the kinds of foods that are healthy for them. And I think that's something that ought to be parents' choice.
Yeah, often parents' choice, but they have to also present it in a way that children will enjoy and then make it part of their own likes and dislikes.
Well, if children were drinking unsweetened milk all their lives, of course they would still like chocolate milk, but it doesn't have to be every day.
What choices today do schools have to actually improve their food? I mean, do they have to dip into their own budgets? I mean, their schools are cash-strapped these days themselves in terms of making their academic needs.
You know, one of the shocking issues about the school meals program is that they're expected to be self-supporting, whereas no other program in a school is expected to be self-supporting. They're all subsidized to some extent as part of the educational mission. I think the school meals should be part of the educational mission. They should be completely linked to what's being taught in schools. Kids should be learning about where food comes from, how it's grown, what the food system is about, how the distribution system works, what's involved in marketing of food, and also a lot about how foods taste. One of the really amazing things to me about the Jamie Oliver program was that he went into a classroom and held up a lot of different kinds of vegetables, including potatoes and tomatoes, and the kids didn't know what they were. They'd never seen them.
That's so interesting that they're not exposed to the real thing. They're just exposed to the processed thing,
yeah,
and the package thing.
The best part of it was the teacher saw that as a teachable moment. She didn't know the kids didn't know those things. And the next time he came back into that classroom, the kids knew them all.
That's fascinating. So just getting back to that one notion, though, about how schools can make a difference themselves, basically what you're saying is they must dip into other sources of revenue in order to make any changes these days.
No, it depends on how big the district's buying power is. Mm-hmm. I think New York City, for example, is big enough so that they can insist on anything they wanted and would get it, because the buying power is so large. For a small school district, it requires somebody who's really creative. But there are schools like that all over the country where school food service directors are working with farmers markets, are working with farms themselves, are developing CSAs, community-supported agriculture, where they're working hand in glove with farmers to try to bring healthier food into the schools, and the kids love it.
I don't know about you, but I've read, I think, studies. I think part of the reason they put the school breakfast program into effect was because they've shown that if kids aren't nutritionally satisfied, or if they haven't been fed properly, their ability to learn is markedly diminished as well.
Oh, yeah, you're not very interested in learning if you're hungry, especially if you're young. So it's important for kids to eat, but you want them eating something that's good for them.
Obviously. You know, talking about all this, it makes me curious as to how the school program, the school meals program these days is funded. I mean, on a federal level.
Well, there are billions of dollars of tax money that go into supporting it. Billions. And even then, the school districts say that they don't have enough. The act that was passed, or that is actually, I don't even know if it's been passed
yet. I think it's the Child Nutrition Act.
The Child Nutrition Act, I don't even think it's been passed yet, is going to give school districts another 6 cents per meal. Now, there are school districts who say that's completely ridiculous. We can't do anything with 6 cents. There are other schools that say, 6 cents? Ah, wait until you see what we could do with that. And I have a friend who's a food consultant for schools who says there's so much wastage in the system that if the school started cooking the foods themselves, they would save an enormous money, because what happens is they get the commodities and the Department of Agriculture sends those commodities out for processing. So there's chicken, and then they send the chicken out to be processed into chicken fingers, and the schools pay through the nose for that. Whereas if they cooked the chicken in the school itself, they would be saving huge amounts of money.
So what are the obstacles to that? Why could not the USDA send out, or the whoever it is, send out the chicken directly?
Well, they
to
can.
The schools.
The schools order what they want.
So it is. So that's the point. So
yeah,
the
schools
control...
have a choice. The schools have a choice. But you have to have somebody in the school who can cook, which isn't always the case. If you've been trained to just throw a package into a microwave or into a convection oven and you don't know how to cook, you're faced with a real problem. A lot of schools don't have equipment.
Historically, though, I think I recall and actually had a conversation with someone about who worked in food services who said they did cook at one time. When mm-hmm. your children went to school, Dr. Baki, did you think that they...
Some of the schools they did cook, but as my younger daughter who's now 25, when she went to school, actually in her school district, the high school students could go out to eat. I mean, they didn't have to eat in the cafeteria, and there was very little that was served in the cafeteria except junk food options. And a lot of them went out and ate junk food. I mean, you know, so it's...
junk food in the school, junk food outside the school.
So I think that there's been a gradual transition because of the money, and why you have to pay staff to cook food, and it's less costly, they think, to just order these prepackaged bulk foods where they can either make them en masse in one place and ship them out to the schools, or just have reheated meals in the schools.
Yeah, in the most fabulous school lunch program that I've ever seen, fabulous because it's so well thought out, the seniors were allowed to go out, but they eat in the cafeteria now because
really?
The food is so interesting and they're so completely involved in deciding what the menus are, in working with the cooks, in figuring out how to do it, and lots of them are working in the kitchen asked for cooking classes.
It makes so much sense because it's a perfect teachable opportunity.
Absolutely.
I mean, because ultimately kids growing up have to be able to feed themselves, and they have to be able to cook themselves, and they have to be able to understand, you know, all the benefits of fresh fruits and vegetables, healthy foods. So it's a wonderful opportunity.
And you can look at this as a chore, or you can look at it as something that is just really fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun to cook and eat what you made afterwards.
And we had, when we lived in Texas, there was a physician who had a farm outside the town we were in, who started actually, she brought some, and it was organic farm, she brought some of her organic soil, and they started a plot where they raised vegetables in an inner city elementary school, and then they cooked that in the cafeteria, and each class learned a little bit about what was happening there, and that's how they learned nutrition.
And the kids love it.
They did.
That's very forward thinking. I thought that in this new Child Nutrition Act, which you say now may be stalled, that there was some mandatory funding for schools to actually establish school gardens.
Yes.
Are you familiar with
yes.
that?
Yes, there was money in there for that. And I mean, there's a big pressure on schools to try to fix this problem, because I think everybody recognizes that the school meals have become an enormous problem, and that's why Michelle Obama mama's taking this on is so important because she's keeping the pressure on to try to get improvements there.
Is there, are the school lunch, there was some controversy around school lunch meats as being inferior, that they were using old hens, as a, you know, that the standards for school lunch meats were lower than that of a fast food,
well,
fast food chains.
There have been
true?
There have been any number of situations where school districts have bought meat from packing plants that have had a great deal of difficulty with E. coli and salmonella. In that situation, you just hope that the meat's being cooked.
And then it'll take care of the problem,
it'll
even though
care
it's
of the bacteria.
Hard to eat old hens. I have a question that has struck me, and obviously, Dr. Bakke, as a pediatrician, you may have a weigh in on this as well. It seems that there's an increasingly lower age for the entry into puberty amongst children these days, and there's been some suggestion of there being a link of that early onset of puberty to the fact that there are hormones given to, you know, so many of our meats, whether they be poultry and or beef. Do you see any linkage there? Has there been
any
experience?
To leave that one to Dr. Bakke.
I don't know that there. I don't know if there's been any definitive link. I mean, there's been some claims that perhaps growth hormone being fed to cattle and getting into the milk could potentially be mimicking some of the hormone that would then cause children to have puberty early.
But
I don't
know.
But
it's not the same as our growth hormone.
Right, and so I don't think there's been any really definitive link to that.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any definitive link. It's, you know, one of those things that you worry about, but the science just isn't there.
Right. So you've written a lot about what to eat, food politics, the politics of food safety. You've even written about pet food.
I have.
What made you get interested in all these things?
My partner was trained in animal nutrition, and I was very curious about all those pet foods in the supermarkets. They take up a lot of supermarket real estate, and therefore they must be extremely profitable. I wondered, and I couldn't read the labels because they're not like nutrition facts labels. So I was curious about it. We had a lot of fun doing it.
What did you find?
Well, we discovered that there's not one specific way in which pets need to be fed. There are lots of different ways of doing it, and you have to pick a feeding method that is good for your particular animal and that it responds well to, and one that's comfortable with your lifestyle.
But there weren't necessarily problems of the type. In other words, if we found that there was a rash of pet obesity in this country, could we point to the pet foods?
No, that's the same reason that people are overweight, because they're eating too much. I would say that pet treats are a factor in pet obesity, and it's certainly just as much a problem in pets as it is with the owners of the pets. And their remedy is the same: feed them less.
Feed them less.
They'll live longer.
So the bottom line with school lunches, what would you like to see changed if you could at this point?
I'd like to see food-based standards, without any question. Let's get kids eating real food.
And people cooking the food.
And people cooking the food. Let's get kids learning about where food comes from, how it's produced, who their farmers are. Let them understand that carrots come from the ground and potatoes come from the ground and what these fruits and vegetables do. And what a good one tastes like and what a bad one tastes like, and turn them into sophisticated eaters. They'll have a good time throughout life.
Anything else you wanted to add, Dr. Bakke, to that?
I don't think so. This is great.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Nessel,
Professor of
Nutrition and Health at New York University, and Dr. Donna Bakke, our Professor of Public Health here at Upstate Medical University. Thanks very much for joining us. It's been a very, very interesting conversation. Please stay with us. We're going to take another short break. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air 570 WSYR.